Yes, Luca. Come and show.
In search of a nice place to holiday and do some shopping while taking in the sights, you could head for Chicago and its Miracle Mile, or New York's Park Avenue, Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive, or Cobble and Chicken Street.
It's famous all over the world, Chicken Street.
The proprietor of Raouf's Fine Carpets is a man who sees Chicken Street not as it is, but as it could be, a tourist magnet. Today in our series, Recreating Afghanistan, we explore tourism. Afghanistan may not seem at first blush an obvious vacation destination, but even the Taliban wanted tourist dollars enough to appoint a minister of tourism. Since the days of the Silk Road, visitors have fallen in love with Afghanistan's natural beauty. Plus the man-made wonders, the world's second tallest minaret and exquisitely tiled Islamic mosque still stand, spared during years of fighting. I paid a visit to Chicken Street.
Come on inside the shop, it's just looking inside.
Raouf Kabir's rug store is one of the many lining this famous street of one-story shops. Display windows are piled high with etched silver teapots and jewelry of deep blue lapis lazuli, painted miniatures and antique guns inlaid with mother of pearl, and lots of carpets.
This is nomadic from Herat, made by nomadic people. From Kunduz. So with pictures of men, birds, some other things.
Raouf Kabir hasn't seen any real tourists, visitors that is, here solely to see the sights. But he'll settle for what passes for tourists these days on Chicken Street. Peacekeepers, aid workers, and a few Americans I run into who'd rather not go into detail about why they're in the country, but they are happy to talk about why they're on Chicken Street.
By far, this is the best rug shop in town. Raouf has done a fabulous job showing us and teaching us all about the carpets.
On this morning, Donovan Griffith is in the back room with two other Americans. Raouf Kabir is serving tea and happily unrolling countless rugs as one American, Bill Bowen, acts like a tourist in search of the perfect souvenir.
You come to a place like Raouf's shop, you see, you know, what we look at as a rug and you say, oh, this is an old rug here. But this actually has a story and an allure to it. This is what's called a wedding kilim. This is handmade by the two separate families, the husband's family and the wife's family to be. You see that fat seam across the middle? They join them together when the family becomes one.
Poetry, says Bill Bowen, pure poetry.
I didn't expect to see anything like this when we got here.
The silver-haired Texan in jeans introduces himself as James Renault and, when pressed, identifies himself as a political military analyst for the U.S. Department of Defense.
I think it's be fantastic tourism in, I don't know, 6 months, a year, maybe, perhaps longer. Depends upon how fast we kill the rest of Al-Qaeda.
Just speak right into the mic, yeah.
I have to say, you're wearing a pistol on a holster. You're packing.
I am. I'm wearing a 9mm Beretta pistol. Yeah, we go armed everywhere we go. It's still dangerous, and we always have to be back before dark. Evenings are beautiful here, though. Stars, moon, it's just, it cools down. It's wonderful.
Later, another faux tourist wanders into Raouf's rug shop, Dominic Grace, who's in Kabul working with the World Food Program. It's not the moonlight, but the mountains that would interest him if it weren't for the millions of landmines.
If the land was substantially demined, I would come here for hiking, trekking. You can do some serious mountain climbing. There's fishing, hunting, horseback riding.
The Golden Lotus is one of three restaurants once known as the place to go for tourists. The others, the legendary Khyber Pass and the Marco Polo, have just reopened this summer. Ali Siraj surveys the Chinese decor and remembers back to when he owned the Golden Lotus, then known as the 25-Hour Club. That would have been back in the 1970s when Afghanistan attracted mostly hippies. After 25 years in exile, Ali Siraj is back, and despite all evidence to the contrary, is sure he can make a go of a tourist business.
I already have 5 groups booked from Spain to come to Afghanistan. I want to start trekking trips, you know. I want to start the ski club. I don't want to bring people here and endanger them, but I believe that within 5 years, Afghanistan's tourist industry will be in full swing. and it means thousands of jobs and millions of dollars.
Ali Siraj is undaunted by the current dearth of tourists.
I'm looking into building a hotel, you know, a small luxury 50-room hotel, very exclusive, where people can go for a swim, they'll have a jacuzzi, they'll have a sauna, they'll have a tennis court, they'll have a basketball court, they'll have their high tea in the evening, they'll have their breakfast, we'll bring in a European chef, beautiful garden, a small jogging trail.
All this in contrast to the current accommodations available in Kabul, guest houses and a couple of down-at-the-heels hotels, including the once glamorous, now sagging Hotel Intercontinental. The challenges to creating a sizable tourist industry are enormous, obvious, and possibly insurmountable. Roads have to be built or repaired, landmines cleared, the country made safer, and the national airline will have to fly in more often than every other day. These days, with tourists scarcer than hen's teeth, it's news when one actually shows up. This is the Citroën that young Eduard Cortez drove into town, and he was immediately written up in the Kabul Weekly. A photo of him posed in front of his green and red car, wedged between that of other newsmakers, Afghan Foreign Minister Abdullah Abdullah and Osama bin Laden. Eduard Cortez and a friend wanted to recreate a rally from Paris to Kabul that was popular back in the 70s, and he admits waiting until the very last minute to tell his parents where he was going in his grandmother's car. They said okay because they never thought he'd make it, but make it Eduard Cortez did in spite of the roads.
There is no road. It's very difficult. There is many holes and stones on the way, so it was difficult in Afghanistan. People who, with Kalashnikov wants to stop us, but we go, you know, very fast. So
when he finally reached Kabul, Eduard Cortez did what any slightly disoriented tourist might do. He headed for his embassy, and the French ambassador greeted him like the first French tourist that he apparently is.
The ambassador of France say, okay, you're the first French tourist and you can stay in the French embassy. You can sleep, you can eat. It's great.
This is 250.
Back on Chicken Street, aid worker Susan Lee Butts is now contemplating the rugs in Raouf Kabir's shop and contemplating the notion of Afghanistan as a tourist destination. She says it's definitely too dangerous now to recommend to family and friends, but hopefully not for long.
I think this place is absolutely unique in that it could have a huge future as a tourist destination. And there's this incredible beauty. I mean, for example, the most amazing roses, the most amazing wildflowers, the most amazing fruit. But in the midst of these really barren vistas, it's a very interesting contrast.
In something of a breakthrough, a bona fide tour group has arrived from Britain and is seeing the site this very week. And that, says rug seller Raouf Kabir, is excellent.
I hope as tourists are starting coming. When a tourist is coming, the life of people is going better. They bring money for this country. They're coming here and buy some carpet off me.
Thinking of taking a tour? Go to our website, npr.org.